Amar of Yehuda Merav of HaMefarish VaYotzei B'Shayara, and we began analyzing all of the Rashis, as well as analyzing what is the fundamental requirement of Zokuk Levayer when a person leaves his home. So we saw the Meiri, and the Meiri's understanding was that what we're talking about over here is a fellow who potentially is facing an Isur D'oraisa. Let's take a look at the words of the Meiri again, just to have a very strong contrast to the Meiri and what we're going to see afterwards. Just a reminder, there's just a chazara for today, for what we did yesterday. Where's the Meiri in this edition? In the brown edition? Where is it?
After the
yeah, got it. Yep, got it. He's on top of it. Great. So the Meiri says, HaMefaresh mina hayabosh aliyam. So he says as follows. Im daito lachso lebeis al samach lepesach, af mitzchilas hashan tzarech levar, shemitoch shedaito lachso kodem hapesach, eina nosein leiv levatol b'mekoma. Sherei daito lachso ulevar. And then he differentiates, as we discussed in detail already, the difference between kodem lamid, achar lamid. I'm not going to repeat what we did yesterday. But the crux of the issue over here, according to the Meiri, is that we're afraid that this guy is going to be over Baal Yiroeh u Baal Yimotzeh. And the issue is that, as I dramatized last time, he has his kids coming over, and he doesn't want to be mevatel his chametz. He wants to hold on to his chametz. You can't be mevatel your chametz when you know your kids might come and eat it. That's a joke. Right? You agree with me? If you know that your grandkids are going to come, so you might want to save yourself from being over Baal Yiroeh u Baal Yimotzeh, but that's not acceptable, because if you expect them to come, so then bittul is not going to be effective. So the Meiri says that's why he wasn't mevatel beforehand, and now we're afraid that if he's going to be on his way back, he's going to forget to do bittul. Hence, we learn that when you leave in the first place, zokuk levari, you can't have rachmanis on the grandkids that they might want to eat it. You got to get rid of it right away, even before you leave. That's the crux, that's the oversimplification of the Meiri that we spent a lot of time doing last time. Put that on the side, because the Meiri we're going to make reference to again. And now, we're going to go to Shitas Rashi. By the way, the Rav Yon, the tour, we're going to come all the way back to at the end of Shir, and that will be an instance where our Mishnah Brura, last 10 minutes of Mishnah Brura before Mincha, will actually dovetail what we're learning in Iyun. Normally we just do Hilchas Brachas, but it happens to be that today's Mishnah Brura will go, since anyhow we have to do the Mishnah Brura in Pesachim, so we'll push off Hilchas Brachas for a day, and we'll just go back to the Mishnah Brura on that sugya. Now let's go back to Rashi. We had a really, really difficult Rashi. Rashi in Dibra Maskal, Filim in Rosh Hashanah Nami, who left this off as a bunch of tzarachiyuns, and what we're going to see is different approaches amongst the Achronim of how to understand Rashi, and we're going to contrast that to another position of the Rishonim that explicitly disagrees with the Rashi. That's going to be our agenda today, and then to be Masik Shmaitza Liba de Hilchasa, then to decide what is the Halacha L'maisa that comes out of all these Halachas of Kodim Shloshimim. That's our agenda. Says Rashi, Afil Merashaninam, Tichi Hadar Be Bimei Pesach, Over Aloch, Aleho. Remember the right, correct way to read Rashi, and that is that when the guy comes back on Pesach, if he's planning to come back, so then he's going to be over on Baal Yiroeh Baal Yimotzeh. Rashi's going to go on and say, when he sees it, he's going to be over Baal Yiroeh Baal Yimotzeh. And at that moment, he can't be mevatel it, because it's already out of his rishus, as Gemara is going to tell us in the bottom of Vav Amud Beis, Sharei Isra Nohu. Now this is, by the way, an interesting expression of Rashi, which buttresses what we've said in the past, although we speculate in the past. Now we see it's Rashi, black and white, that the halacha is that when it comes to chametz on Pesach, it's not in your rishus. For example, the Gemara on the top of Zayin Amin Aleph says you can't marry a woman with chametz on Pesach. You can't use it for a kedushin. It's Isurei Hana. So Rashi understands that Gemara at the top of Zayin Amin Aleph supplements the Gemara on the bottom of Vav Amud Beis. That what the Gemara is saying is that the reason why we say Eino Bereshus HaShalotim, that the chametz is not in the reshus of a person, the reason why we say that is because it's Yisurei Hanah. In other words, the two Gemaras go together. It's Eino Bereshus HaShalotim because it's Yisurei Hanah. What purpose do you have? So that's how Rashi seems to be masbir that Gemara. And Mirz Hashem, we're going to get to that. Before we go, I've decided that in about three weeks or so, we're going to go Bli Neder to, I think, this is tentatively, we're going to go to Arvei Pesachim after we finish all the way through Daf Zayin, and then we'll be learning also a little bit more of Halach L'maaseh Sukkos of the Night of the Seder. That's, I think, going to be the plan. So we'll get to this Gemara about being Mekadesh B'chametz and etc. So Rashi says Sharei Asura Hanahu Ve'ina Shalom U Kishira Uhu, and when he sees it, Over Alel, then you're going to violate Bal Yiroa and Bal Yimatzeh. Then you're going to violate Bal Yiroa Bal Yimatzeh. So we jumped out of our skin when we saw this Rashi. Because Tzarech Iyun Gadol, Rashi says that when you see it, you're going to be over Bayura, Bayumatzeh. That goes against everything we've learned. And that is that when you say Yerah, it doesn't mean Yerah. We saw that we have a hekesh between Sa'ar, between Bayura, Bayumatzeh. And that is, whatever qualifies as Bayumatzeh also qualifies as Bayura. That we saw in Heyam Abayz. And we saw that the word Yimatzeh means Bechol Gvulecha. The Gemara in Heyam Abayz also says. So to say that's when you see it is quite a chidush. Okay? But we have a Tzarechin and Rashi. Before we go to that Tzarechin and Rashi and see how the Achronim deal with this difficulty in Rashi, I want to process the next part of the Gemara. We never did the next few lines of the Gemara. We skip Rava Lishitasa. Says the Gemara, Va'azdu Rava L'tamai. And Rava follows his reasoning. Six lines from the bottom. As you can hear, I'm getting a sore throat. And as the Rav could attest, this is the biggest hazard in our business is liquids. That's not as much coffee as I'm drinking, more liquids. Okay. So can I ask somebody to read Va'azdu Rava? By the way, do you know that there are rabbis and musicians that insure their voice. They take insurance on their voice. So Daniel, you're my insurance. Go ahead. Va'azda Rava L'tame, is okay? Go ahead.
Va'azda Rava L'tame.
Can Aaron, can I be matriarch you for water then? It's Rav Wild suggested. Thank you very much. Yeah, go ahead. Go Va'azda Rava L'tame.
Va'azda Rava L'tame. The Amar Rava, I was based on Ozark, Cohen, Shloshim Yom. Ain't doctor provide. Someone puts his house into like a grain storage place for 30 days. He doesn't have to do the work. Within 30 days, he doesn't have to do the work. Kodim Shloshim Yom, Nami Olo Amran Elisha Ain't Dato Lipnoso. Amal Dato Lipnoso, Akuni Kodim Shloshim Yom, Nami Dato Lipnoso. Before 30 days, you didn't say that you didn't have to do your unless you didn't have intention to take out the grain, empty it on Pesach. But if you had intention to empty it out, then even before 30 days, you would have to do your.
Okay, so Daniel, how would you describe what's Rava's point? What's Rava trying to bring out? What's Rava Lashitaso, if you will? You know, we make such a big deal when we have a Rambam Lashitaso, a Rashi Lashitaso. So it's even better when you have a Rava Lashitaso. It's even more of a bigger deal. What's the Rava Lashitaso? The Gemara says. Go ahead.
As long as the Chametz is going to be on Pesach itself, it's going to be you're going to see it, and it's going
to be. That what? Good. Step number one is the parallel over here. Daito lahachzir, the parallel of daito lahachzir is daito lefanoso. Okay? And what do we see? That if it's tok shloshim yom, even if it's not daito lefanoso, the halacha says what? That you gotta. Right? And tok shloshim yom, you have to do biur, even if it's not daito lefanoso. Thank you very much, Aaron. Okay. So that's the parallel, and that's the same rule, that there's a difference between whether he's going to come back, and if he's going to come back, there's a chiv even more than 30 days, but within 30 days, it doesn't matter about the fact that he's not going to clean out. What's cleaning out? What's the halachic significance of cleaning out? So Rashi explains the following. Otzer, that's a storage room. Sheichnis sham tvua v'tachdeh chametz. I know that there's chametz there. V'amrina l'kamon, and what's relevant is another halacha, and that is chametz shenafla lav ma'poles. If you have chametz that there was debris that fell on top of it, harei hu kimevuar. So this is a very important assumption over here. This is going to be important in being miyashev Rashi as well. Not all chametz that exists that's in your ownership do you have to get rid of. The question is whether the chametz is accessible. It's quite a chiddush. And that is that if I've got debris and I've got chametz underneath and it's not easily accessible, you're not over by your rabbi matzah. Notice, it's not that you're not required to do bedika. You're not over by your rabbi matzah. Why? Because something that's sitting under debris is considered as if it's destroyed. You're not going to go digging through the debris. And therefore, the halacha is you're not over by your rabbi matzah in the first place. Hence, says the Gemara, Rava l'tameh. Rava is consistent with his reason. Even though you're not going to come back on Pesach and you're not going to come to be over by your rabbi matzah according to Rashi, if you leave within 30 days, you still have to get rid of it. If you know that in this otzer you're going to remove, or whether you don't, you're not planning to remove. Either way, the halacha is that you have to get rid of that chametz. Whether you're going to be over by your rabbi matzah or not, if the chametz is sitting at the bottom of the storage house, the Gemara is mechadesh. That's considered kimavur. It's considered like something that's sitting under. It's considered as if it's sitting under the debris. However, even though you don't need to do bittul shmul, even if you don't, nevertheless, when you're leaving within 30 days, you're going to have a chiyuv to get rid of it. However, if it's more than 30 days, so then in such a case, you don't have the concern about your rabbi matzeh. If you don't have the concern about your rabbi matzeh, you don't have to do bedikas. That's the same idea, that when you're going to come back, you might be over by your rabbi matzeh, so then in such a case, you're going to have a chiyuv even more than 30 days. If you're not going to come back, so then in such a case, there isn't a concern at all. That's Rava l'shitasa. Okay? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam she'hakol nehyeh bedvar. I'll take some clarification questions on that, and then we're going to go back to the previous Rashi. We're still, our agenda is to focus on the previous Rashi, but we need to be familiar with this concept of Chametz Shelof Alav Mapolos. I see there's a few hands over here, so let me say it over again, and then maybe there was something that was not clear, and then I'll take your clarification questions as well. Let's do the Gemara and the Rashi again. Va'azga Rava l'tameh. Rava is consistent with his reason. Da amar Rava ha'osa beso otzer. Kodim shloshim yom ein zakuk levar. If he makes his house an otzer, so what does that mean? He's bringing tzvua and putting it in on top of chametz. So then the halach is ein zakuk levar. If it's kodim shloshim yom, why? Because it has a din of nafla alav mapolas. It's nafla alav mapolas. Isn't that amazing? You're allowed to make a mapolas l'chatchila. Tosho shim yom. But if he's doing it within 30 days, then zakuk levar. V'kodem shloshim nami lo amaron. And the only time we say this prior to 30, elisha ein daito lefnoso. That's only if he's going to leave the mapolas situation. I will die to lefanosa, but if his intention is to remove it, afilu kodem shloshim yom na mizokik levar. Even prior to 30 days, he's going to have to do biur. Why? Because if he's daito lefanosa, that's like daito lahachzir. That's the parallel to daito lahachzir. Rashi again? Otzer is considered like nafla alav mapoles. So what do we see? We see that there is a distinction between daito lahachzir or ein daito lahachzir. If you do within 30 days, it doesn't matter whether you're going to be daito lahachzir or daito lefanoso, because you now have using Rashi's terms previously, you now have the Tzarche HaPesach that's sitting on top of you. That means that you have to get rid of Chametz. So if you're making the Mapolas now, that's not an excuse. You already have to get rid of the Chametz. Now, of course, there's a big chiddush. I might have said there's a difference between Mapolas and Hichnis La'otz. That's what the Rav's bothered by. That's a fair question. And that is, at the end of the day, in one case, it's Bidiyevin. The debris fell on top of it. So now it's considered Kimavur. Here, we're being Mechadish, then you can make a Mapolas and make it Mavur. That's an assumption that the Gemara is making. And I think, without spending time on that right now, because that's not what I want to focus on today, I think what the assumption is as follows. Mevuar is a metzius. Either chametz is burnt, or chametz is not burnt. You can't say, I wanted to burn the chametz in most instances. Either you burnt it or you didn't. Same thing, lekula. And that is, that either there's a mapolis on top of it, or there isn't a mapolis on top of it. So the halacha is mechadesh, that it's called a mapolis when it's not accessible and when you have tfu on top of it. That's what one must say, which is an interesting chiddush. The implications are fascinating. Maybe we'll leave that for now, because we still have a Rashi. It's difficult. That's prior to this to get to. Yes, Hirsch, clarification.
Yeah. Can you learn out from the case that it's nafla alav, that since it's covered by it, that's why Rashi says you're only over when you see it, ukshiruhu. You're only over by masay ukshiruhu when you see it.
Oh, we haven't gotten to this. Oh, very good, very good. Hirsch comes along and he says there's another parallel over here. He says the next parallel is that Rashi said ruhu, you come back and you see it. Hirsch is thinking like the Marsha. He's saying, wait, maybe there's another connection over here. There's the seeing, and there's the not seeing. Maybe it's not a coincidence that Rashi spoke about seeing if by the Mapolas you don't see it either. And that's how the Marsha thinks. And that's how Shmuel Zev thought. And I thought it was crazy. Remember yesterday? I said to maybe, but sounds wild, instead of chat. I don't know how, I don't even remember how I rejected it, but I felt very strongly that the chat wasn't correct. And it turns out, Shmuel Zev was right, and I was wrong, at least in the sense that the Marsha actually says Shmuel Zev's chat. And that starts with Hirsch's observation. That is, maybe there's a parallel between Mapolas, where you can't see it, and Rashi prior speaks about the idea that when you're far away you don't see it, and then when you come home you see it. Now I said to Shmuel Zev, ridiculous, that's not the same thing. Here it's sitting in your living room in its nice Mishloach Manos wrapping, so then you can see it. The fact that you're in Florida, why should that make a difference? In contrast to where there's a mapolas that's sitting on top of it, or even tvua that's sitting on top of it, there you can't see it because practically you can't see it. But the Marasha is going to make a big deal about what Shmuel Zev said. I was blown away to see what the Marasha said. In fact, I got so excited on the Rebbe's van in. I turned around to everybody and I said how well Shmuel Zev is learning, that he was able to say this idea of Marasha, that it's really, really exciting. Okay. Tough. But before we get to Marsha, let's start with the order. There was a very strong Achron, strong-minded Achron. His name was the Marshal. The Marshal was the older cousin of the Ramah. The Marshal actually attempted to write a sefer halacha as a beautiful, beautiful sefer, but it's not used in halachic circles too much today. The name of the sefer is Yam Shel Shlomo. And the Marashal felt that too many poskim of that time, I'll just add Kal v'chomer today, were paskiming halacha without learning up the sugya first. They were just looking in kitzer books, and that they were passing halacha. So Marashal wrote a sefer called Yam Shel Shlomo, where he starts with the Gemara and the Rashi and the Tosis, all the way to instances that he feels is la halacha. In fact, he felt that his kid cousin, the Ramah, was being too superficial in his Piskei Halacha. By the way, the Ramah is not just the Ramah that we have on the Shulchan Aruch. It starts with the Darkei Moshe, but not even the Darkei Moshe. There was a sefer prior to Darkei Moshe. It's Darkei Moshe Ha'aruch, where the Darkei Moshe really writes like a Beis Yosef. But still, the Marashal wasn't happy enough. I say that the humility of the Ramah is what saved the world of Halacha, because the Ramah was working on a commentary similar to the Beis Yosef, but the Beis Yosef beat him to it, and so he put the Darkei Moshe Aruch on the side, and he then just wrote small comments Darkei Moshe. Then he was planning to write something along the lines of Shulchan Aruch, and then again Rabbi Yosef Karo Eretz Yisrael beat him to it. He was older than him. Yosef Karo lived close to 90. The Ramah passed away. You know how old the Ramah was when he passed away? Even younger. I think 41 maybe. I believe that's mind-boggling. For those of us who are older than 41, it's a scary thing. So the Ramah passed away, I believe, at age 41. And he got what Rabbi Yosef Karo had written, and he just decided to add addendums to Halacha. I always said, I mean, you probably have heard this from me before, what would have happened if the Ramah would have come out with his own Shulchan Aruch? So in Krakow, there would have been one Shulchan Aruch, and in Eretz Yisrael and in Sfarad, there would be two Shulchan Aruch. The humility of the Ramah, remember this line, the humility of the Ramah is what made the Ramah great. The fact that the Ramah was able to say that there was someone who did it better than him was what made the Ramah world famous. The Ramah would have just been a long line, when you go to the Krakow Cemetery, would have been a long line of the great Rabbanim if he would have written his own Shulchan Aruch. I don't think the Ramah's Shulchan Aruch would have become the Shulchan Aruch of Ashkenaz. It was because he said there was someone else who did it better than me, and what I'll do is I'll add the Minhagei Ashkenaz. It was Zoka to be the first address for Psak of Ashkenaz to this day. And that's something that's very, very powerful. Sometimes, I'll give you another, I mentioned this to Talmidim also before, that I once said to Rav Chizkiyo that there's a beautiful story that Rav Shlomo Zalman was once learning in his room, that the Rav Nevenzal was one of the only people that knew where Rav Shlomo Zalman's room was. And that's the room that he would go to learn with him. And somebody once came, there was an exception, there was an emergency, a family told him the address of where that room was. Most people did not know where Rav Shlomo Zalman would learn privately. Rav Nevenzal used to go to that room to learn with him. And the person came in, and he introduced, Rav Shlomo Zalman introduced them to his chavrusa, Rav Nevenzal. By the way, Rav Nevenzal told me that chavrusa did not start as a chavrusa. He said it was an alumni shir. It started as alumni shir that Rav Shlomo Zalman, for those talmidim that had left the yeshiva, Shlomo Zalman learned with a group of five or six of them, and then eventually some of them stopped being able to come. So what happened was, Rav Nevenzal kept on coming, and Shlomo Zalman decided to continue learning with a chavrusa. So it started as a shir, and then he decided to continue. So he introduced him as my chavrusa, Rabbi Victor. So Rav Nevenzal protested. Rav Nevenzal said, "Na chavrusa, talmid, talmid, talmid." He insisted, "Na chavrusa, talmid, talmid, talmid." So I said to Rav Chizkiyo, and he was nemet from this, that I think that what made Rav Nevenzal that much greater was that he was dafka a talmid and not a chavrusa. Think about that. Rav Shlomo Zalman had many chavrusas in his life, but because he was someone who was being mekabel as a talmid, ultimately that made Rav Nevenzal greater because he was a talmid. Therefore, he wasn't a co-equal. He was someone that was mamish being mekabel. So now Rav Nevenzal is not someone who was sat opposite Rav Shlomo Zalman and offered the opposite thesis. He is someone who is mekabel what his Rebbe said. In the world of Torah, it actually is more chashuv that he was a chavrusa. Anyhow, so the humility of the Ramah, and the Marshal used to rip on the Ramah all the time. In fact, there's a letter from the Marshal to the Ramah where the Marshal rips on the Ramah's digduk, and he points out all his digduk mistakes. I didn't see the letter. I heard this from a few of my rabbeim. He rips on his digduk mistakes, and he's writing philosophy. The Ramah was also involved in philosophy. So he says before, he didn't answer any of his questions about philosophy. He says before you deal with philosophy, work on your dictum. That's what the Marishal said to the Ramah. He wasn't so happy that the Ramah was working on that. So what I'm emphasizing is the Marishal was one of the biggest giants of his generation, and the Ramah looked up to him as being his big Rebbe. Now, because the Marshal doesn't have, thank you, the Marshal doesn't have too many comments on our Gemara directly, he's been forgotten as one of the most important Mefarshim of Rashi. I made a mistake. I wrote Marshal instead of Chachma Shlomo. Of course, it's the Perish Chachma Shlomo. And when you're stuck on a Rashi or a Tosas, everybody knows that the first place to turn to is the back, to the page of the Marsha. So everybody thinks about the Marsha. But as you see, the first step is the Marsha. The Marsha responds to the Marshal's Pshat. So the trend-setting Meforish was really the Marshal, but he doesn't comment that often. Okay, I spoke enough about the beautiful history of the development of the Masorah. Let's actually do it. Says the Marashah, V'davar temo. You see that what we were bothered by was what the Marashah is bothered by as well. V'davar temo. Again, Daniel, can I use you? You know, the guys need my voice for the history. For the learning, we can just rely on you. Go ahead, V'davar temo. Go ahead. Start wherever you want, in the beginning of the Marsha. I started seven words in. Go ahead. Nir Beina.
Nir Beina, Mashma de Al, Mashma Matza, Ain't
Over Allah, Post Mansa Lo Ra Osa. Until he sees that he's not going to be over on it. I feel low Bustle, he can do Fizzle. So the Shal points out that Rashi seems to learn that you're not over Bali Ra Bali Matzah until you come home and you see it, right? Everybody follows that point, right? Continue, V'davar Temu.
Nehi Shalom Haya B'yado Levayer, given that he wasn't able to do the viewer, Nikol Vakom, coming Shalom B'Besavu, the over the Bali Ra, Kodman Shalom Gitlo.
So he asks, what's been on our mind? And that is, at the end of the day, of course you're over Bali Ra Bali Matzah, whether you see it or not. V'nira Beinai. It's the first piece in Chochma Shlomo on Vav Amud Aleph. V'nira Beinai.
He didn't know that. We're talking about a case where he didn't know that he had Chamech in his house. The same Isa B'Yerushalmi. Mushum Hafli Eino Over Alav Ela Mishas HaYudia.
Ooh. Fascinating idea over here. Idea, Yadia. And that is, says the Marashah like this. He says, if you have a suffix of whether you got chametz, so then in such a case, you're not going to be over until you know about it. If you know you have chametz, then of course, you're over anywhere. If you have a suffix, then, in such an instance, you will be over only Mishas Yediyah. He then challenges his own pshat. And wait. But, you know, you're pushing me in a direction I wasn't planning on going, Daniel. I was planning on stopping here and telling the ambitious amongst you to do this tonight. Okay? This is the Yesod of the Marashah. Yesod of the Marashal is a chidush. And this requires more iyun. And that is that if you have a suffik, you won't be over until you know that you have the chametz. Hence, it's only when you come back home and see the chametz and you don't do bittul, and remember, you can't do bittul, Rashi said, because it's already in a shalom, then you're going to be over. Now, there's a basic question you can ask in this Marashal. This really doesn't suffice. And that is, we have a rule called Safik Daraisa L'Chumra. Why? Where did the Marashal get this idea from? That Yediya, only Yediya, you're over on Bali Ra Bali Matza. Where did he get this notion from? So I want you to work on this teretz. There's a Lamdisha teretz. I think, if you think conceptually, you might be able to answer this question, but this is the crux of what the Marashal does in your heart. In your heart, the Ran says that Bittul is belay based on Rashi and Yomel. Work hard. No, there's no. I don't want you to look and squirm. I want you to look around. What I'm saying, if there's a long dish of teretz, I didn't see in the sefer.
I'm saying on my own, I think there is a basic lumda shiyasod that would answer the question. Okay. This is the Marsha. Let's go to the Marsha. Comes along the Marsha, and the Marsha does not, feels that the Marsha's pshat does not sit well with him. Vikasa Marsha, seven words in. Go ahead, Daniel. Vikasa Marsha. It's, by the way, Dibra Maskel, but Pirish Rashi, the Dibra Maskel, Daito Laksa. Go ahead. Okay. So all he does is he quotes the Marashal's question, and the Marashal is going to give us a different answer. Now, I told you what the chidush of the Marashal's teretz is. Very interesting that you're only required to get rid of it if you know that the chametz is there. By the way, in the way I just formulated it, might answer the question of Safik Daraisa L'Chumra. Okay? And the Marashal doesn't relate to Marashal's teretz. He just quotes Marashal's kasha on Rashi that we already mentioned yesterday. Why in the world will you bowling over when you see it? And he gives a fascinating teretz. Go ahead, Valinir.
And even so, when he doesn't have intention to return, he doesn't have to do beer. They made it, the chametz is like a mapolet, that all you have to do is do bittul and that's enough. You don't have to do beer. The thing cause of Iran, the thing Mira,
you know what? Before we go on to the Chenira, who could say, aside from Daniel, who could say over in their own words what the Marsha just said? Yes, Micha.
I thought he said something a little different.
We didn't say anything. Why are you saying different? We didn't say. What does Marsha say?
Marsha.
Yeah, he just read the words. He didn't say a word.
The translation.
Oh, you would like to translate differently. Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Micha. I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you said. Go ahead.
No, I thought it was saying that we're dealing.
You know what? You read the words and you translate your way. Go ahead, Velinira. Good.
Velinira, and it's
in the Machlokes Achronim how to read the Marsha. Go ahead.
The Vaday I read, Av Vishyeshlo Chametz, Vishyeshlo Vaday Chametz Vibeso, that we could even be talking about a case where he has. Where he knows he for sure has
chametz. Oh, why did he use those words, the Marsha? Because he's knocking the Marshal. He's saying, Marshal said it's a suffix. He says, I can give it deretz, even if there's vadai chametz. Continue.
And even so, kishe'ein daito lazor, when we're dealing with a case where the guy is not going to come back, ein zaku glavar, he's not forced to burn, the asa'uhu kenafla lav napole, the mevatlo, vidayo. So, they made it like a building fell on it, and it's considered like it's already bittul, and it's enough. Meaning not that he did bittul, but
correct.
It's already been.
I agree with you. You're correct. I don't think Daniel disagreed with you. He just didn't emphasize what you just emphasized. You disagree with him? He's right. He's right, even though I empathize with you. I'm going to get to that. I understand. You're bothered. You're Daniel's starting from the conceptual point, and you're starting from the reading, the reading point. Conceptually, Daniel is very bothered by how you can read it that way. But it happens to be, like usual, if you read really correctly, it's going to be right. And even though conceptually it's difficult, we're going to have to work point out why I think you're bothered by it, Daniel. Okay. Says the Marsha what? Say it in your own words now, Micha.
That if it's a case where the guy does not have das to return, then it's as if a building fell on his chametz because it's completely inaccessible, and it's like it's bottle.
Amazing.
It's not there.
Amazing. Which is what Shmuel Zev said. Is that what he said? Even you, he had a mechilta. You didn't use the Gemara Daf Ches or Lamed Alf. That's basically what Shmuel Zev said, but I thought was crazy. The Marsha says. Which the moral of the story is, just because your Rebbe says he thinks what you said is wrong doesn't mean it's wrong.
go back and you look again, look again, look again. Zok the Heilige Marsha. Rashi holds that when a person is far away, then it's halachically like Nafla Alav Mapolis. And just like the halacha is, when it comes to Nafla Alav Mapolis, you don't have to do bedika because it's considered as if the chametz is mavuar. So too over here, the chametz is considered mavuar until you come home and you decide you want it. Then you've removed the debris. By saying you want it, you've removed the debris. Now, why did I find that extremely difficult? Because conceptually, there's no parallel. I understood that Mapolis works. The way in which Mapolis works is that the chametz is inaccessible and therefore mavur. Here, the chametz is accessible. I just happen to be halfway around the world. That's fundamentally different, I would have thought. Marsha says no. He says, Rash holds that if you're far away, it has a din of nafla alav mapoles, as long as it's ein daito lachzer. Why? Because ein daito lachzer, listen to the way to formulate it as a lamdin, ein daito lachzer is like mapoles. Just like mapoles makes the chametz inaccessible to you, if truly, we're not talking about games now, we're talking about truly he's not daito lachzer, so the chametz is inaccessible. Is that over by your Rabbi Matzah? Nafla Alav Mapolis tells us that it's the practical access of the chametz that makes it significant. Shimon, give David a hand. That makes the chametz significant. Stand up, David. Makes the chametz significant. Since the chametz is not accessible, it's insignificant. And the halacha kimavuar doesn't mean that practically it doesn't exist. That's like dirt. I would have thought that if it's under debris, then that turns the Kit Kat into dirt. No. Once the chametz is not accessible, it's not called bayi matzeh. You don't see it. You don't. It's not in your rishus. And that's what Rashi means ukishirohu. So of course, if you're home, and this idea of see no evil, hear no evil, we don't believe in that. If you know that it's in the closet, of course you're going to be over. But over here, what Rashi means is that it's entirely inaccessible. Kimivur. So when Rashi says ukishirahu, when Rashi says that when you see it, you know what Rashi's saying, kishirahu? Rashi's saying that the moment in which you see it, you're now going to be subject to Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh, but now it's accessible to you. It's not that Rashi redefined the word Bal Yirah, like one of the Talmidim in the beginning of this man made an assumption, I don't remember even who, made an erroneous assumption. He said, Rebbe, it says in the Bible that you're not allowed to see it. As long as you don't see it, you're not over Bal Yirah. No, wrong. That's for sure wrong. And that's not what Rashi's saying. That can't be what Rashi's saying. What Rashi is saying is that when ukishirahu, then it's accessible, and now you got a decision. Either you're going to keep it or you're not. And now the Torah gives you time. You got 10 seconds, maybe 10 minutes, maybe even 10 hours to make a decision whether you want it or not. Now, once you make the decision that you're there, then you want it. So what are you going to do? You do bittul. Can't do bittul. It's already too late to do bittul. That's the pshat in what the Marsha is saying. Now, before I take all of your ha'aros, I see there are many hands, I want you to see how the Marsha read the Gemara so beautifully and took Hirsch's idea. Let's finish off the Marsha before, let's let the Marsha talk a little bit more. Before you and I talk, let's let the Marsha talk. So go ahead, Daniil, keep on reading. Okay, you'll look up the Ran. By the way, the Ran over here, he doesn't mean the Chidushi Ran I put in the Mar Makomas, I don't think. He means the Ran in the back of the Gemara. Okay? By the way, most Achronim did not have the Chidushi Ran. We're very, very lucky that we have a generation where everything is on our fingertips. But maybe that's why we don't learn as well, because these Achronim had to work so hard. They say that there was that there were Gedolei Achronim that they would borrow a sefer and they would read it and they would try to memorize the whole sefer.
because they knew that they weren't going to, they were passing through a shtetl and they saw a sefer that they didn't have, and they would spend the whole night awake just to try to memorize the sefer because they knew they wouldn't have it. So it probably actually makes us worse off than better off. But we have to keep on pushing ahead. The Chaynira, go ahead, Daniel. The Chaynira. You're going to tell me what the Marasha means. Not only Daniel's translation. You tell me what the Marasha is saying over here. Yeah.
Shapir Drashi Behedya Dahavli Kanapa Lamapola. He says that the Otzer is like it's a Mapola. Shadato Lachzor Bimei Pesach.
So let's try translate.
So when you have intention to come back, we have a shash that says you're in the desert. It's not a place where people do bedika, so then they're worried that you're not going to do bittul.
Okay. What does he mean? What does the Marasha mean when he says, "V'chei nira demedami luhu laotze"? What does he mean by that? V'chei nira demedami luhu laotze. Explain the tzal. Explain.
Meaning, just like the case by an otzar is really like a mahola, so too our case is also like a mahola. Our case by the daitolazor is also like a mahola.
Very good. Hirsch, you want to add a little?
I want to ask a question.
Okay. Says the Marasha like this. That's exactly Vazda Rav Latame. It's beautiful. He brought a case of Otzer. Otzer, we said that you don't need to get rid of the Chametz when the Chametz is under the Tevua, when you're not Daitel Lefenosa. So what was the Gemara saying? Was the Gemara talking about Bedika? No, v'hameivin yavin. The Gemara was talking about bal yira bal yimatze. Put the hameivin yavin in brackets. The Gemara is telling us that when you have mapolis, so then the halacha is that you don't have bal yira bal yimatze. And we see that it goes so far that if you had put tavua in, you don't have bal yira bal yimatze. And the halacha says that your only time you have to worry to get rid of the chametz is if it's daito lefanosa, because then you're going to see it. Then you'll be over bal yira bal yimatze. So that's the whole Hemshech HaGemara. The Gemara is proving as the Rav Letamayu this exact point, says the Marasha. The Gemara is not just saying that Rava says that there are times that you daito lachzor, then you have to do bedika, you don't have to do bedika, parallel between daito lefanosa, daito lachzor. More than that, much deeper, a deeper conceptual connection. Not just the halacha of when you need to do bedika, the whole notion that you're not over bal yira and bal yimatze. And that's the pshat of Otzer Nafla Lav Mapolis. Otzer Nafla Lav Mapolis, you're not over by your Rabbi Yimatzei altogether. That's not the simple Pshat of the Gemara. But it's brilliant on the Marasha's part. And Hirsch picked up on that. He said, wait a second, what's the connection between Kishara Uhu and the other case? It could be there's a parallel, there's a Mapolis over here. The answer is there's a deep connection. Nafla Lav Mapolis, you're not over by your Rabbi Yimatzei. The Gemara is Mechadish Hichnis La'otzer, you're not over Bal Yira Bal Yimatzei. And so too, then that's the same halacha of when he's far away, he's not going to be over Bal Yira Bal Yimatzei. By the way, did you read the Gemara this way? If you'd be saying Daf Yomi Shir, would you have read the Gemara this way? And I'll take your clarification question. Why in Daf Yomi Shir would you not read the Gemara this way? Yes, Micha?
Doesn't the word Sakut Lavar?
Hafuch Zakhar Gluvar actually helps the Marasha. Because a simple reading of the parallel to Otzar is that we're not talking about Bahir Rabbi Matzah. We're talking about the Chiyuv Bedika. Do you have to do Bedika in such a case? So Gemara is saying, you don't need to do the Bedika when he's Mefarash Yotze B'Shar Abiyam. So too over here. According to the Marasha, the Gemara is doing something revolutionary. The Gemara is saying that when you're Mefarash V'yotzei B'Shar Abiyam, you're not over Bal Yira Bal Yimatzei.
And the Gemara is saying the same is going to apply to Hichnis Ha'otzer, you're not over Bari Rabbi Ha'otzer. I could see the Marshal going ballistic. Marshal saying, what? You're telling me that any time chametz is just not accessible to me, automatically I'm not over Bari Rabbi Ha'otzer when it's in my Rishus? That's wild. That was my instinctive reaction to Shmuel Zev. But it turns out the Marshal says that Pshat. But it's not the Dafyomi Pshat. If you look up the art scroll, I bet the art scroll will explain that the Vazda L'Tamayu was talking about Bidika. The Marashah doesn't understand it that way. And based on this, Marashah's B'miyashiv Rashi. U'kishiru'u means that up until that point you see it, you're not going to be over Ba'al Yiroah and Ba'al Yiroah. See, Katalmidim have many questions on this. Since I heard a great question from you, David, in your name, so I'll start with you. Go ahead.
My question was that Marsha says that when it says Kinifla on the polis, it's Dabatla.
I was extremely bothered by that question. And we're going to see the Ran says black and white what I'm bothered by. Rabosai, I have a tsaruch in gadol on this brilliant pshat of the Marashah. You always got to check up the references. I had Rav Gurelik Zatzal say it to Rabbi Branspiegel. He said, "A yid darf haben emuna, aber darf lernen on emuna." A Jew has to have emuna, but he's got to learn without emuna. Or how did Rabbi Yabina Zatzal say it? Rabbi Yabina said that Abai and Rav are both a bunch of car playing liars, right? That's what he said when the Rosh Yeshiva went off to Panovich. By the way, I always add, now you know where Rabina got his... Rabina prides himself as being a mamshich from his father. Our yeshiva's named after that. So that's where Rabina's style of speech... Of course, Rabbi Yabina had the utmost esteem for Abaye and Rava. But the point is that when we learn, we need to understand. Just because Abaye and Rava say it, we don't understand it. We got to try to understand. That was sort of Gorelick's line, that just because your Rebbe says it, don't have Muna, but not only that. Even if... in the Mefarshim themselves, in the Marashah himself. So you got to check up all the sources. So Marashah's source over here is the Gemara on the Ches Amid Aleph, which Rashi made reference to, and that is Chavmatz Shenaflo Alav Mapolas Harehu Kimavur. The Chametz that falls under Mapolas is Mavur. And what? We say that, that's 5 lines from the bottom, and we say that Hichnas La'otzer is no different than that. So that Revolds and I were bothered is in on certain levels a chidush. That's a chidush. You might have said it's not the same thing, but let's go with that. Let's go with that assumption. But now, even if we're going to accept that chidush, it's chidush agabe chidush agabe chidush. We take a look in the Gemara in Lamed Aleph on the base. It's a beferish Gemara. Says the Mishnah Lamed Aleph on Aleph. Chametz shenafla alav macholes hareyu kimavur. Amar Rav Chizda v'tzarech sheyevatel. That's why I said that Daniel's right conceptually. That was what I meant. That conceptually, what I meant is right. You're right. Is that Chametz Shenaflo Alav Polas doesn't go as far as what the Marashah is saying. However, I saw that everybody reads the Marashah the way Micha read the Marashah, and it's very hard to read the Marashah your way. You want to come back and defend the Marashah the way you had read it? I'm open to hear you. But I'm going to go with the way Micha read it, because I looked around, I was bothered, I wanted to go in your direction, and then I saw that even that everybody reads the Marashah the way Shmuel Zev had understood the Sugya, the Mechudesh takeaway, and the way Micha read the Marashah. Even though we leave off with the David and Daniel's Kasha. David and Daniel are bothered that at the end of the day, it never says that on a Mapolis you're not over Bali Rav Bali Matzah. It doesn't say that in Mapolis you're not over Bali Rav. What does it say when it comes to Mapolis? Well, it says Areyu Kimavur, that you don't have to do Bedika. Now that's fine with the Gemara. The Dafyomi Pshat, smooth. We're talking about Bedika over here. We're not playing with the fire of the Araisa. We're playing with the Chiyu Bedika. And the Gemara says, do Bittul. Period. And then you don't have to do Bedika. But of course, Ba'i Rav, Ba'i Matzah, we're not talking about. So the Gemara is fine, it's dandy. It's Rashi. Rashi seems to say, Ukishira, ooh, over lo bayiro bayimatsay. When you see it, then you're over bayiro bayimatsay. So Rashi needs to go like the Marasha. That maybe you have in Daniel, then it's hard to explain according to you your way of Marasha, how you answer Rashi. Because Rashi said, Ukishira, you're over bayiro bayimatsay. So that's why probably Micha's reading is right. On the other hand, seems to be the Farish and Gemara. Sarich Iun Godol on the Marsha, and I want you to be Omel on this. So our Sarich Iun Godol Rashi hasn't changed. In a day's worth of Amelus, we're at the exact same point, except the Marshal's Chiddush. And the Marshal says, when do you have a Chiyuv of Bedika? Only when you know that there's chametz there. If there's a safek, then you're not going to have a chiyuv of bedika. Even if I'm even yavin, and now I'm explaining a little bit more the marshal, a little bit more. That at the end of the day, safek derais lechumra, you're over by your rabbi yimatzeh. But the chiyuv of bedika might only be if you know that there's chametz. Why? That requires a little bit more amelus that we're going to leave for now. Rabosai, can I be mevakish from you that I just want to put everything together in a clear formulation, and then I'll take your ha'aris. This is the Marshan Marshal. Marshan Marshal almost always difficult. There's always something that to get stuck on in a Marshan Marshal. The Ran is very, very clear in our Sugi Nechidushi Ran. And I just want to show you that you don't have to resort to that to the hard scroll. Everything is smooth and glatt in the Chiddush Aran. So you don't need the hard scroll for it to be glatt. You just have to work for a while. The only thing is, it won't give us Rashi. Comes along the Ran, and the Ran says a very clear pshat in the whole Gemara, cuts like butter, so that we shouldn't be that today was just one big confusion. We're difficult pshat in the Marashal, difficult pshat in the Marasha. Let's get a pshat that cuts like butter in the Gemara. So smooth. Zabdurat, page Zion in the brown edition. Idaito Lasar Afilu Me Rosh Hashanah. We'll go with, and in the, you could scream out where it is in the red. Daniel, you want to go for the cycle over here? Idaito Lasar Afilu Rosh Hashanah. Go ahead.
How does Rashi zal the fi hadar b'mei Pesach of our lay? V'ahi shaita lad reshut they delivtolei harei enu shalo. Shiru'u over Allah.
Now I was so happy when I saw that what was bothering me in the Talmidim, the Ran says black and white. And the Ran said, but look how the Ran questions Rashi. It's so beautiful. Talk about, you know, today's theme in terms of the hashkafa of the day was anava. Look how the Ran disagrees with Rashi. Just look at this. You gotta savor this like a good piece of fancy chocolate. Savor these words. Savor the Ran's words. Go ahead. Rashi is not clear to me. Ran, I'm sorry. I know you want to learn. Eino barura. I want to teach you kinesinasa vasina. I want to teach you what's even more important than this is like, this is the learning version of throwing off a yarmulke. Leave aside for a second what he's going to say, the Ran's going to say. Most importantly, do you see the Ran realizes that Rashi is so great that even if we don't understand Rashi, doesn't mean there isn't a beautiful answer to be the Yashi Rashi. So Ran doesn't say he's wrong. He says Rashi must be saying something very, very deep. But ve'ena borer etzli, Rashi's not so clear to him. So therefore he gives another pshat that's clear to him. And that's how my Rebbeim used to speak. That when there was something that was difficult in another mefarish, in a posek, in a bar etzli, therefore I would give a different approach. You'll hear, that's how Rav Nevensal Shlita speaks, that's how Rav Shechter speaks, that's how my Rosh Hashiva in Tarvadas spoke, Rav Pam spoke, that's how Rav Salvechik spoke, that's how a person's approach is. When something you don't understand, if it's from a giant that preceded them, in a bar etzli. Okay, now we can go on. Go ahead.
Devadai kol eino zakup levar damrin hafa. Anytime we're saying here that you don't have to do piur, bittol bina bali. We still have to do bittol. The lo Kevan Shubershuto Pesach means over love between and bait the hold will left. Because if you wouldn't do bittul, then you would still.
Okay, so this is the punch. This is the crunch. This is the punchline over here. The punchline over here is, says the Ran, that at the end of the day, there's no way that the Gemara is talking about anything aside from post-bittul. That Maven Yavin, very different than the Mirim, right? He says, of course. Devadai, calling himself the Varim Dami and Hacha, bittul mi abai. Just because you don't have to do biur, of course you need to do bittul. So if you will, the two extremes are the Ran and the Miri. Two different extremes. And the Ran is so convincing. And the Ran says, of course, because at the end of the day, you violate Bechol Gvulecha, which means that the Ran is saying Shmuel Zev is wrong, that the Marasha is wrong. Ran says, Ran's black on white. In other words, even though there are others who disagree, the Ran says, of course, you're over Bechol Gvulecha. And therefore he says, in a borrowedly, I'm not sure where Rashi's driving at. I have no idea. Continue, Varay L'davar.
Varay L'davar, Daham Medamin and Leit La'Ose Beso Otzer, Velo Adif Otzer Menakla Allah Mapolet, Damir L'Kaman Dezar.
Oh! Zok Duran! And the proof is, what the Maharsha uses as his proof to support his pshat, the Ran says, is a proof to me that the Maharsha is wrong. Because the case of Nafla of Mapolis, the Gemara in Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, where did I get the Gemara? From the Ran. The Gemara in Lamed Aleph Amid Beis says, black and white, that you need to do Bittul. So therefore the Marashah's Pshat is incorrect. You want to defend yourself? Wait, I want a working Pshat in the whole Gemara. Ella, just a second. Ella, go ahead, Daniel. Ella.
With bittul, the sagi midaraita the sagi. So before 30 days, all you have to do is we say that all you have to do is bittul, and that's enough. Umakshinan idato lachzor.
And now he's going to read the whole Gemara. So he says that kodum shloshim yom, the chachamim didn't put the requirement of bidika and biur, and you would be enough to do bittul. Umakshinan, and then the Gemara asks.
So you say, but if he has intention to go back, then even before 30 days he should have to set, because maybe he would come to eat it, even though he did bittul.
Umaskinan, and we conclude.
Umaskinan, the inachinami, ela the kodim shloshim, the ain dato lachzor, the bittul the amasa.
Ah! If it's more than 30 days, you can rely on bittul. Taloasi lemichal minei. He's not going to come back. He's not going to come to eat it. The whole concern over here in Bedika is asi. Very good, very good, very good. Asi lemichal. Why am I pausing?
Because that's
Tosis. That's Tosis. Rashi can't give this pshat. But we've got something to work for tomorrow. Rashi can't give this pshat. Because Rashi and Beis Hamidrash and Alv holds that Bedika is due to Bal Yirah Bal Yimatze. So he doesn't have the whole chash of Asim Eichel. Wow. But that's Hamevin Yavin in parentheses. That's my way of ignoring all you guys. That's parentheses, Hamevin Yavin. Okay? We'll get back to that later. But the most important thing is, the Ran says, of course there was Bittul. We're not talking about Bal Yirah Bal Yimatze. The whole Shaila of the Gemara is only what? It's only Asim Mechmane. Continue, Daniel. Avol. Oh, now you have a chiyuv of bedika shemayavolacha, and it depends now whether it's daito lachzor or not. This pshat cuts like butter, and I bet that if they chose the easiest pshat in the translations, that they would take the Ran's pshat. But Rashi doesn't learn that way. I alluded to possibly why Rashi can't learn like this. And we still have the Marashal's Teretz and the Marashal's Teretz. This has been a beautiful, beautiful sugya. And there's a part of me that really doesn't want to stop. There's a lot more for us to do. So let's come up with a game plan. Tomorrow night I want to give the Chidushim Shir to all Hashanah Bet on a topic that's connected to them as well. Baruch Hashem, we've moved a little faster, which I'm very proud of, that we're covering ground. So what we're going to do for Wednesday night is we're going to go back to a topic that we did on in the past, and that is Midoraisa B'Bitul Baal Masakle, but we're going to do Be'ezer Hashem much more. The Tosan Daf Dalim Beis. Most of the other Shiurim are now working on that Tosa. So the Be'ezer Hashem, we're going to go back to that. I think what we're going to do is as follows. Tell me if this sits right with you. Tomorrow morning, we're going to put things together.